You are listening to a podcast of the Fleming Foundation. We are an organization pursuing real learning, original scholarship, and thoughtful living in a dying age.
Welcome to another episode of Surely You Must Be Joking, Dr. Fleming. I'm your host, Stephen Heiner, and with me as always is our namesake. Dr. Fleming, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
Today we're going to be discussing yet another thing which may shock people to hear Dr. Fleming put forward, but after they get to hear him give his case, they end up agreeing with him. And that subject today is going to be representative democracy, so-called. The idea that in democracy, we elect someone, we hire them to represent our interests. What is right or wrong with that proposition, Dr. Fleming?
Well, I'm going to try to show today that the whole idea is inherently absurd and based on a misunderstanding of human nature and of human politics. But, you know, if it's always nice to start at the beginning. We know that democracy begins with the ancient Greeks and that it was turned into perhaps something more disciplined in Rome. Now, it is an interesting fact that neither the Greeks nor the Romans ever developed a theory or a practice of representative democracy. Now, for example, it was one of the great problems in the development of the Roman Republic when, after all, a city conquered all of Italy and then North Africa and southern France and parts of the Middle East and Spain. So the city government is actually running a huge empire, the biggest empire that the world had seen up until that point. And you would have thought, and Theodor Mommsen, the Nobel Prize winning historian, one of the great German intellectuals of the past 200 years, Mommsen said he thought it was bewildering that they never came up with the idea that Spain would send representatives, Gaul would send representatives, Northern Italy, that all these different communities would send representatives. And he doesn't understand this. He himself was a member of the German parliament and a prominent political liberal. At Athens, for example, which is a much smaller place, you know, all of Attica is smaller than an average an American county, probably. But in Athens, you again did not have representative government. You had systems in both Rome and Athens of electing officials, electing various kinds of magistrates or selecting them. Some of them were done through elections. Some of them at Athens particularly were done by selection by lot. And you had various levels of the community, tribal organizations or local jurisdictions that were part of the process. But once you were elected to the Roman Senate, or once you became a member of the council, the boule in Athens, or once you were an Athenian magistrate, you were there representing the entire people. You were not representing a district. So there were no representatives in Athens from Eleusis or Nicaea, and Roman citizens, if they couldn't come to Rome itself and take part in public meetings, then they really couldn't be part of the political process. So the argument on the table for Theodor Mommsen was, gee, if the ancients had only learned this, they could have solved some of their problems. I say, absolutely not, that the ancients were right and we have made a mistake. I'm not saying that you can't make representative government work, because you can make a lot of things work. I mean, you could probably survive living at eating at McDonald's once a day for 2 years. But I mean, that's not perhaps the best way to live.
And again, Dr. Fleming, when you're talking about representation, you're talking about, let's say, a specific deem, a district, what we would
that's
use
right.
in modern political parlance, a district. You're not talking about a representative in the broad sense that the tribune was the representative of the people.
Right, exactly.
The Senate.
Okay. Exactly. Now, and of course, I don't want to get into the, as Bill O'Reilly would say, the minutiae which you can't even pronounce the word correctly. But
well, he doesn't have to worry about that anymore, does he, Dr. Funny?
No, is he out? I mean, I knew he was on the way.
No, he's out. The joke trending on Twitter this week was the killing of Bill O'Reilly after all of his killing jokes.
Years ago, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, I wrote a piece on why Bill O'Reilly was the plague of television political discussion because of effrontery, stupidity, ignorance, and just basic dishonesty. Fooling around with girls or making salacious remarks is the least of his sins. Whatever caused him to be gone, it's a relief that you can turn on the television. Okay, here's a basic fact which ancient Athenians knew. Elections, when you vote for somebody in an election, elections are bought and sold by one means or another, either by trading favors or by simply buying votes. The way, say, Joe Kennedy bought Jack the primary in West Virginia by paying so much per head per vote. Okay, it's as simple as that. This happens in Chicago all the time. It happens in Texas all the time. And so the ancient Athenians were well aware of this. They thought that they had what they called a democracy, which means rule by the people. Rule by the people means the people, not just the wealthy elite that can buy elections and pull strings. All representative government is inherently corrupt. That is because you have a small group of people who can be bought or who can buy themselves. For example, famously under George III, the king, through special ministers, bought himself a parliamentary majority using his own money. And hence, he and his ministers acted with considerable arrogance toward the American colonies. And the result was the American Revolution, and probably the biggest mistake an English king made since Charles I ended up getting executed for some of his mistakes. So later on, in the later 19th century, of course, Parliament was independent of the king, but now what they did is, and so they couldn't be bought, but they could buy. They would be bought by special interests who gave them their seats. And then they turned around and taxed the population, usually the wealthier segment, and then spent some of the money buying votes for themselves by giving away stuff to the so-called poor. And this is corruption. Our whole system is based on the idea that presidents and congressmen and senators and governors will give my money away to people who don't deserve it, who didn't make it, who didn't earn it, will take my money and buy power with it. So all representation is corrupt inherently. Democratic representation is worse because the bribers don't even use their own money. At Athens, they assumed that all officials, elected or chosen by lot, however they came to power, they assumed that the magistrates, the officials, were crooks.
Why did they assume that, Dr. Fleming?
Because it was true. Oh, there are exceptions, you know, Aristides the Just, you know, Cimon. There are a number of people, but it's basically, you know, people are people. You know, the heart of man is the place the devils dwell in, we're assured. And most men, especially politicians, are very simple people. If they had complex minds, they wouldn't go into politics. They're simple people with simple appetites. Money, power, sex, that's all they want. And to get that, of course, they have to take and give bribes. I mean, they're inherently corrupt. The Congress of the United States is, by definition, a corrupt body. The Athenians, being more practical than we are and more honest than we are, the Greeks rarely lie about these things. You know, somebody's a homosexual, they'll say he's a homosexual. If somebody likes boys, he'll say it. He won't pretend and just be, well, I'm actually a Boy Scout leader and I'm only interested in their well-being. No, you don't get that stuff in the Greeks. They're very straightforward. So they assume this, and therefore every senior magistrate on leaving office would have to undergo a scrutiny in which he was presumed guilty and had to prove himself innocent of corruption. And if he couldn't prove himself innocent, much of his property was confiscated and he had to go into exile. So, I mean, they were, by the way, I would propose that today for everybody holding an elective office, starting with city councils across America. Let them be assumed guilty, and if they can't prove their innocence, let all of their wealth be confiscated. So, the Athenians...